Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome once again to the Rifleman Radio Show on Appleseed Radio. The Rifleman Show is sponsored by the Appleseed Project, which is a project developed by the Revolutionary War Veterans Association. We'd like to welcome everyone this evening and thank everyone for listening in. We've got a lot of information we want to put out this evening. First off, let me start with the upcoming events we have. On January 17th and 18th, we have an Appleseed event in Boulder City, Nevada. And the 17th and 18th also will be sponsoring a shoot at Peru, California, in El Paso, Texas, and Sacramento, California. These are all supposed to be what we consider warm weather locations. This last weekend, we had an Appleseed event here in Davila, and it was another of these sites selected because of the warm weather location. However, we happen to have a nice 31-degree temperature with 35-mile-an-hour winds. So I'm sure some people that is a spring type of environment. If you live in Minnesota or Nebraska or North Dakota, someplace like that, Wyoming. But for here in Texas, it wasn't that warm for us. But we continued anyway. At Appleseed, we shoot in all weather. We kind of think of it much like the military does. The military doesn't recognize weather. And the Appleseed program will go on regardless of the wind speed or rain or tornadoes or hurricanes. We had an Appleseed during a hurricane this last year here at the Davila location also. So, if you see a date listed for an event, you don't have to worry about if it's going to be rained out or hurricaned out. You can definitely get in your car and head there because it's going to happen no matter what's going on there. Also this time, I want to make sure and remind everyone that on April 19th, we'll be having a shoots simultaneously across the nation, 50 different events from coast to coast, from border to border, across the United States in remembrance of April 19th, 1775. We're trying to get that date back into the heads of Americans. They can understand what that date meant and where the country started, where we came from, who they are, what they are, that they do have a heritage, that they're not simply rock squirrels sunning themselves on a rock, eating Doritos thrown out by the visitors, that we actually have a heritage. And at the Alpha C program, we want to remind them of their heritage, who they were, who they are now, and why they are the people that they are now. A lot of men and women sacrificed in an unbroken line from April 19, 1775 until now. An unbroken line of sacrifices made by men and women in order to secure our freedoms and liberties. We have a special guest this evening. Fred is going to be with us. Fred from the Appleseed Program, and from Fred's in 14 Stocks in Shotgun News. He's going to help us this evening with the show, and we're going to discuss with him the idea that is your American Revolution dead now, or is it dying perhaps even as we speak? So we'd like to welcome Fred this evening. Fred, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, thank you for coming in this evening, and I say coming in, for calling in. And, you know, when I talk to a lot of people, and I do very regularly now, about the American Revolution, a lot of times I get back blank looks from them or just I don't knows, or I don't know what you're talking about, or very few people now, or the majority of people seem to be completely ignorant of the events that led to America becoming a sovereign nation. Recently, you wrote a post that caused me to think of this too, and so let me just ask you straight out: is the American Revolution dead?
Well, if it's not dead, I certainly wouldn't want to see it get any closer to being dead. For all practical purposes, you could probably, unless something is done, you can probably write the American Revolution off. And I think you could probably reasonably say that the American Revolution is now in the dustbin of history.
And why? How did this happen? What's causing this?
Well, I don't want to go back, get too involved, because, you know, there are some complicated questions there, and I'm sure I don't know all the answers, but somewhere around the 1930s, I got to be honest with you, I look on the World War II generation as the ones who brought into this planet the baby boom generation, and there was something wrong with the way the baby boom generation was raised, and you might even argue that... It could be that the World War II generation, there was something wrong with the way they were raised, because obviously there was a break in the transmission of values. And that's what the American Revolution is values. And those values don't seem to exist anymore.
They don't. And I would point to another reason that the people are so ignorant of this is, from what I can tell, all my children, I asked them about what they're learning in school about it, and that part of our history is just glossed over. They may get a day or two of it with no real history about it. And I think that if we don't link back up to our history, if we don't get a good solid connection to who we were, then I don't see how we can, I don't see how the people can have a link to those values now.
Well, we have apple seeders who were who are teachers, and one of them told me recently that at his school, when he suggested that there be a little bit more said about April 19th, he was told that if it was up to the school administration, they'd just cut April 19th out of the history books, because it just to teach children about the events of April 19th would just promote a culture of violence. So you see that you're exactly right. The educational system can certainly take its fair share of blame. But I think back to the novel 1984 by George Orwell. Weren't there certain slogans that the state used? And wasn't one of them, I might be wrong about this, but I think one of them was ignorance is strength. And, you know, it would really pay people to go back and read that book. Just because 1984 is past us doesn't mean that book is not still about the future. And you can actually see, if you read that book, you can see how we're getting closer to the future that George Orwell foresaw. And we got to remember, George Orwell was a card carrying, I think he was a communist back in the 1930s, and he participated in the Spanish Civil War, and I guess he had his eyes open, and he became somebody who was no longer of that persuasion. And he wrote a series of books. One, of course, is Animal Farm, and the other is 1984, exposing what he thought was the evils of the left. But
and they used to be required reading in school, and they're no longer required reading.
It's not? Well, that is indeed a shame.
No, they have. I was just listening to some teachers speak the other day about it, and one of the required books at this school, I'm not saying it's in all schools, but one of the required books at that school was Brokeback Mountain for the senior class.
Senior class, huh? Okay. Give it another 5 years, it'll be in junior high. 5 years after that, they're probably teaching sixth graders.
Well, that's what, at the Appleseed program, that's what we do. We drag you kicking and screaming back to that point so that you understand that that's where you came from. That's who you are. That no matter who you are today, no matter who you think you are today, that you are directly related, if by nothing else than the fact that it's your heritage, to those men and women on that day, on April 19, 1775. You're directly related to them. And even if you're not, you can be. You still can be.
Yes, Scott, I was just kind of smiling because what we just indulged in for the last 5 minutes was something that we try and discourage at Appleseed, and that's talking about problems.
Right.
There's millions of problems you can talk about in this country today. And if you're not careful, you'll wind up spending all your time talking about those problems or complaining about them. And,
right. We talk about Appleseed being concerned with climate and not with storms and perhaps I'm getting that backwards.
No, you're right. It actually comes out of Appleseed thinking before the election. When the state was made, elections are about weather, and Appleseed is about climate.
That's right.
You can have an election a day, and you know, a Ronald Reagan will win, and in 8 years, you know, a Jimmy Carter will win. Maybe 4 years after that, a moderate Republican will win. But you see that elections are very changeable. There's no permanency to it. Just because you elect Ronald Reagan does not mean the country's saved. And Appleseed is about climate, which is a long-term view, a long-term change in the weather pattern. We aim to change the fundamentals in this country, which means that we're aiming to wake a significant part of the American people up. And we believe that if we wake them up to their history and their heritage, particularly that beginning, right on April 19, 1775, that we won't have to tell them who to vote for. That once they are aware of the, you know, the sacrifice that the founders paid for liberty and the thoughts and knowledge that the founders left us, once they are aware of that, once they educate themselves, then you don't have to worry about them anymore.
Right,
they're gonna know how to vote. They're gonna wanna once we wake them up, make them aware of that heritage. They're gonna they're going to, not all of them, but most of them, are going to instantly understand that that heritage is something that no other nation or people on this planet has. And it's something precious, and it's something that we should do whatever we need to do to make sure that the heritage does not die.
Right. We also talk quite often about the fact that every little thing that goes on that people start yelling about this new thing or that new thing are just so many icebergs, and there will always be icebergs, no matter what. And if you let yourself get stuck in pointing out and naming icebergs, then you're never going to get through the mission.
That's right. It doesn't make a lot of sense to be standing on the deck of the Titanic when it's sinking and pointing at all the icebergs on the horizon and saying, boy, look at those icebergs. We really got to worry about them. I think most people agree in that situation your first priority is to start bailing the ship to keep it from sinking. And that's really what Appleseed is about. It's a pretty decent analogy that you can look on this country as the Titanic. It struck an iceberg. I don't know when it struck the iceberg, whether it was 1913, 1932, or when, but definitely it struck an iceberg, and this ship is sinking. In fact, the words that come to my mind right now are this country is spinning out of control. If you've been around the last 4 or 5 months, I don't think you'll argue with that question, with that statement. But if you're on the decks of that sinking ship, of course, one person can't stop the flooding. One person can't bail fast enough. So the first thing you do is you look over there at all the passengers, and for some reason, the passengers aren't aware that the ship's sinking, and they're all sitting in their deck chairs, complaining about the service. So it's your job. If you don't want to wind up in the water, it's your job to get those passengers out of those deck chairs, convince them that their best strategy in life to survive is to start bailing, to pick up a bucket and start bailing. And that's basically what the Appleseed program is about. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say that I've always looked at us as like the Paul Revere program, that we bear close resemblance to that, because we're not going to teach you, we don't teach you how to vote, we don't tell you who to vote for, we don't tell you how to fix individual isolated problems. What we do is we make people aware that there are problems and that they need to take on as their responsibility whatever amount of responsibility they feel that they have in fixing them themselves, that whenever you live in this country and whenever you listen to the words from the document, from the rights to for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that's a reciprocal agreement, that you are guaranteed those rights as long as you understand that it's your responsibility to safeguard them. That nobody, you can't sit around and say, I know that I don't have to worry about this because someone is going to be taking care of me. Somebody's watching out for me. Somebody's going to be looking after me, because they're not. Nobody's going to be looking after you. Nobody's going to be looking after your best interests. And it's your responsibility to get up off of that couch, get that remote out of your hand, get whatever you're doing, and take responsibility for yourself. Take responsibility for getting up and beginning doing something to help save this country. And you can do that by getting on to appleseedinfo.org, clicking on events, Appleseed events, and scheduling yourself to come to an event. We're like, I think about the Appleseed program like a launch pad. You come there, we'll get you all revved up, and we'll launch you out into your life. And then it's your responsibility to take it from there.
Well, Michael, I couldn't have said it better myself.
Well,
I don't think you left anything unsaid in that comment.
I think that Somebody just tried to call while I was talking, and I thought, well, that's great. I just lost the whole program. Well, I talked to a lot of people this last weekend, and I told them the same thing. I said, listen, you all sitting around listening to me, it's your responsibility. When you read those documents and it says, we the people, that's not some special elite group that's out there. That's not some politicians in Washington. That's every one of you sitting right there listening to me right now. You are the government. And when you wake up and when you realize that, then you will understand how powerful you are. You'll also understand that the responsibility for taking care of yourself, the responsibility for making sure the government is doing what they are supposed to be doing, rests on your shoulders, not somebody else, not your neighbors or somebody else or some unknown faceless person that's supposed to be taking care of you. You are responsible for taking care of yourself. You know best what you need, what your family needs, what your community needs, what your state needs, what your country needs. You know best how to spend your money, not somebody else, and it's your job to get out there and get involved and do something about it. And one of the best ways to do it, if you don't know how, then come to an Appleseed event. Go to appleseedinfo.org, log on to the site, and register for an event. It's one of the easiest things you can do, and it's one of the least expensive things you can do, and you get two things at once. You get the chance to improve your rifle marksmanship, and you get like a free launch pad out into your own personal responsibility sphere of taking care of your nation.
You know, 3 years ago, it used to be an adventure to come to an Appleseed. There were only 18 that first year, and some people traveled unbelievable distances to come to an Appleseed. I remember being in Texas, and a guy showed up from Washington. People drive half a continent to come to an Appleseed. And we've taken, through a lot of hard work, we've taken a lot of that adventure out in the sense that with 300 Appleseeds being scheduled this year, every state will have at least 6 Appleseeds. There's actually a few exceptions. I'm speaking from a mathematical average here. We don't yet have an Appleseed or have one scheduled in South Dakota, North Dakota, Nebraska. That's probably the hardcore area of the country. Almost every other state has either had an Appleseed or has one scheduled. I should say we're working on Alaska now, and we have some contacts in Hawaii, which we'd like to see germinate into an Appleseed in each of those locations.
Yeah, we had a little over a year ago in November, we had the first Rifleman's Boot Camp here in Texas. And because they were still so few at the time, I believe there was only two locations you could go to at that time almost for boot camps. One was in Ramsar, one was here in Texas. And I think there also might have been one in Osage Beach around that time. But because of the scarcity of the locations, I had people from Washington State, from Chicago, Illinois. I had people from the Dakotas. I had people, you name it, from Louisiana, from Florida, all people that were very interested in the program and were dedicated enough that they drove several thousand miles to come to the event.
We might want to mention those boot camps are 8 days long. They usually start on a Sunday, and the boot camp itself winds up on the following Friday. And it's followed by an Appleseed on Saturday and Sunday. And the boot camps are 8 days of solid shooting, learning how to shoot. We can't promise to make a rifleman out of you, but we do everything we can to make a rifleman out of you. And I think the statistics are that 80% or more of the people who come to a boot camp are able, before the end of the boot camp, to shoot a rifleman score on the Army qualification test.
Yeah, we always have a large percentage that really do, because, like you said, it's it's 8 solid days, where the first 4 days are very intense days of rifle marksmanship. Over the course of a boot camp, it's not uncommon to fire up to 2,000, 2,500 rounds. I believe I fired about 2,500 rounds at when I went to the boot camp in Ramseur of all 30-06 the whole way. And then you'll have a day of like school learning, book learning for ballistics and instructional techniques, and then a day of instruction where you learn how to teach the course, and then you'll actually instruct at an Appleseed event on Saturday and Sunday.
One of the mantras of the Appleseed program is learn to shoot a rifle today, teach someone to shoot a rifle tomorrow. And part of that is based on this notion that most of us in the gun world believe that it's part of our duty to pass the tradition on. And the only way you can pass the tradition on is to teach it to somebody else.
And that's the best part of it. For me, that's the best part, is to be able to spread it around. All the instructors in the program are all volunteers. And they all, the only reason that they stay with it, that I stay with it, is because of the fact of the immense gratification you get from teaching someone else to become a rifle marksman, and teaching someone else to become reconnected to what they're supposed to be doing, which is safeguarding their liberties. And the gratification is tremendous. I don't, you know, if you've ever had, if you can think back to when you had a certain teacher, a certain mentor in your life, that in the course of your conversation or in the course of your relationship with them, they said things to you, and or perhaps they demonstrated things that actually changed your life. And as an Appleseed instructor, that's what happens to you. You have lives are changed at almost every event. You can see it. You can see when a person, when the light switches on, and they say, hey, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is one of the most important things that I could be doing right now in my life, is helping to safeguard the liberties of my country. Not just for themselves, but most Appleseed people are family members. And they know that if they don't do something, and it actually gets lost, and that's the future. That's what they're leaving for their children, for their posterity, is a legacy of their own failures if they don't fix this now.
Absolutely right. We started this off with the question of, is the American Revolution dead? And we can, you know, we can ask our your listeners to answer that question for themselves. Simply asking themselves how many of their neighbors know anything about the American Revolution. And the chances are pretty good that none of their neighbors know anything about the American Revolution. But if you want to try a little experiment, you could, next time you see one of your neighbors, you can say, hey, you know what I was thinking the other day? Somebody mentioned to me the date April 19, 1775. Do you have any idea what the heck that date means? And I suspect in most cases you're going to draw kind of a blank. Some people, after a little hemming and hawing, might be able to have a little dim light bulb go off and say, oh, man, wasn't that something to do with Lexington and Concord? Or, you know, wasn't that something about some embattled farmers and a shot heard around the world? But generally speaking, Americans know very, very little about what happened on April 19th.
I was going to say, the responses you were just mentioning would actually be considered really high, because I've gotten responses from, wasn't that between the North and the South? So whenever you lose your history, whenever you lose your heritage and you no longer know what your heritage is, then you've lost everything. You have nothing. Then being an American means nothing. It has no meaning to it. It has no value. If you don't have a heritage, if you don't have a history that you can recall and that you can trace back, then you're just adrift in a sea with no name. You have no responsibilities. It's just it's a horrible thought, because it's going to end up with the death of our country.
Well, if you turn on the plasma TV, you can soon let those thoughts drift out of your mind and not worry anymore. Actually, your analogy is quite good, because history is like an anchor. And if you're adrift on the shifting currents of life, history tends to keep you straight. Just because it's something that's fixed, it's in the past. But there's more to history than facts and dates and places. There's actually standards. What were the founders thinking of when the Revolutionary War got started? What were their thoughts? What did they expect of this country? And when you go back and you read some Revolutionary War quotes, and by the way, a good place to, or good way to find some Revolutionary quotes really quickly, is to just simply type Revolutionary quotes in on Google and put quotes around it. And you'll come up with all kinds of great sites that have great Revolutionary War quotes. And when you read some of the quotes, you'll quickly come to understand that the founders didn't put their trust in the Constitution. They didn't put their trust in the Bill of Rights. They didn't put their trust in any piece of paper. And they certainly didn't put their trust in the government. And they didn't put their trust in the educational system. They didn't put their trust in newspapers. They put their trust in the American people. And there's lots of good quotes that say things like, put your trust in the American people. As long as they're educated and alert, you'll find that liberty is in no danger.
Well,
and then you start to understand, then you start to ask yourself questions like, well, gee, is the population today educated and alert? And, you know, I think that every time I see one of those little filler things in the newspaper that says, you know, a recent survey showed that only 19% of high school students could identify who fought in the Civil War, or, you know, only 23% of college graduates could recognize, who fought in World War II. Just some obvious stuff like that. People don't know it. And you ask yourself, why don't they know it? Well, I guess they don't care about history. And they simply don't understand that it's about what you just talked about. If you have no history, if you have no past, really, you have no future either. I mean, think about it. Animals live in the present. They don't have memories of the past particularly, and they don't have any goals for the future. But what distinguishes us from the animals is that we do have a past, and we do have goals for the future. And that's in theory. A lot of people don't have those goals anymore, and likewise, they don't have any knowledge of the past. And if we let that continue, we're all going to wind up in a nation of idiots.
Right.
Which, of course, gives me a perfect opportunity to promote one of my favorite films. Some nice guy sent it to me. I don't know who it was, but he sent me a DVD of a movie called Idiocracy, which stars Luke Wilson. And it begins in the year 2505, the great garbage avalanche started the events moving. And the thesis of the film is that 500 years from now, the country is going to degenerate into a bunch of people who really have no clue as to what's going on. They can barely feed themselves. They can't get the garbage collected. They can't repair buildings. Everything is decaying. And if you watch this movie, you really think that, they're being pretty optimistic that that future is not several centuries in front of us. It's actually, we're not much more than half a generation or maybe a generation away from that future. People just get dumber every year. And you're right, it's the educational system, but I think my point about parents is right. I mean, you get in the circular thing. Can dumb parents raise smart kids? Dumb parents raise dumber kids.
Well, one of the most important things is that if the people don't understand about our history, about the message of the Founding Fathers, then they're not going to understand how to get out of the problems that we have today. So many people not in the Alpha-Steve program, but if you go to a lot of survival type websites or a lot of the people who are talking about problems that we have in this nation right now, what to do about them, their answers seem to always be, well, what you have to do now is you have to get tons of rifles and ammunition and survival food. That's the only way you're going to get through it. They're ignoring the fact that this was already all thought out. This was already all planned for by the founding fathers. They didn't just they were unbelievably intelligent. They were unbelievably foresighted. They could foresee all of this coming, and they gave us the way to get out of it. So nothing has to be solved down the barrel of a gun. That's why I think that the program, that our program, is so important, is because we tell people that that armed revolution is definitely not the answer. The answer was already given to us by the founding fathers, and that is the form of government that we have, and the most unique form of government on the face of the planet, and that the people themselves are the government. And if they will wake up and understand the power that they have, then they can change the government immediately. And I'm not talking about a revolution where you march on the government and you strip it out. I'm talking about where you fundamentally change the American government by the involvement of the people. That's the message that the program is trying to get out.
Another aspect of that is most people don't have any hope they can make a difference. I mean, look, we're 300 million people in this country. What can one person do? And the message of Appleseed is that you can. You can make a difference. And we are going to make a difference. We started off this program with a notion that we're going to double every year. And we got a 3-year track record behind us in which we have indeed doubled every year. So that we started off the first year with 1,000 Americans, and this year hopefully we're going to hit 10,000 Americans. If we can hit 10,000 Americans coming through this program this year, we will actually be doing better than doubling.
Right, and 10,000 Americans, which on the face of it, the number doesn't sound that great. See, 10,000 Americans, that's much less than the population of even one of the smaller cities. But it does have a big impact, because 10,000 people who will get on the phone or write the one of the 60-second letters we have on the EPSI form site, send it to their representative. Each of those people sending in or talking to the representatives can represent up to between 5 and 10,000 people apiece, because that just seems to be the number of people that end up having anything to do with the government. You have 1 in 1,000 or 1 in 5,000 or 1 in 10,000, depending on the demographics and the population of the state or the area that's being represented. And that's how many people that will end up actually talking to the representatives. And if we can mobilize 10,000 people, that's close to being the equivalent of 100,000 to 500,000 people. And that's a great number of people. And that's just going to be in this coming year. Now, at some point down the line, we've talked about this recently, we will be shaking the hand of the 1 millionth apple seeder, and that's not too far in the future.
2016. That's where it is on our schedule. We're hoping to move that up to 2015.
I think that it's going to go much faster than that. I really do. I think that we're looking at it in a linear fashion as far as the involvement. And I think it's going to pick up its own speed and start snowballing.
Mm-hmm.
But let me
ask you a couple of questions.
All right.
Do you see anybody? Do you see any entity in this country, whether individual or group, that's promoting the American Revolution? That's promoting educating the American people about their history and their heritage.
There's only a few groups right now that are doing it. You have the Sons of the American Revolution, Daughters of the American Revolution, and then you have individual groups, but no real entities.
Okay, I want you to think bigger than that. I want you to think, is the news media doing it?
Oh, certainly not.
Okay.
Now, to them, that's boring.
Is the school system doing it?
and the schools are trying to bury everything behind 1960.
So we can take the educational system out. We can take the media out. Let's see, that leaves government, right? Is the government doing it?
No, the government is definitely not going to do it because the government is tremendously afraid of...
Well, we don't have to get into the reasons of that, but it's enough to know there seems to be no effort in this country. Now, I'll ask you another question. Do we still have the freedom to do this as individual Americans?
Exactly. We certainly do.
Do we have to ask anybody's permission?
We don't have to ask anyone's permission to help to save this country or to educate anyone.
We can save this country if we want to do it. And that's what Appleseed is about. If we continue this process of doubling, and it's not going to be easy, it hasn't been easy so far, it's not going to be easy next year or the year after. It's going to be a long, hard road to travel because most Americans don't want to be woke up. And that means that when you come to this program, when you come to an Appleseed and you hear the real story of what happened on April 19, 1775, and it fires you. It fires you with a spirit of liberty, a sense of you don't want to let these guys down. Maybe it fires you with a strong sense of obligation that there's a debt there that you can never repay, but that it would be shameful not to try and make some small payment toward that debt. If we can continue doubling this program, I said the year 2016 is when we'll hit the millionth person. I'm going to go a little bit further and say that by the year 2028, that may sound like it's far off in the distance, but that's about, 18 years, 19 years. I think we will be within shouting distance of electing an Appleseed to president. I think before that time, we'll see more and more Appleseed candidates. And that's not because we're, telling people or setting up people or assigning people to, run for various offices. It's just that as more and more people become exposed to this program, I mean, we reach all walks of life, truck drivers, lawyers, doctors, and, of course, people who eventually are going to go into political life. So we're going to find more and more people running for office there's a political ladder in this country so that most people start off running for city council, county commissioner, maybe state representative, and then they move up. Some of them eventually wind up as a congressional representative, some of them wind up as a senator, and then eventually some of them wind up as governor, and then some of those guys decide to run for president.
Well, I hope that we'll get... I hope that we'll make an end run around that and get some of the folks that are already about to take those positions and get them involved in Appleseed. And I can see that happening very easily. I want to switch gears real quick. And a lot of people, I get a lot of questions about the program, like how did it start and what was the beginning history of it. So I wanted to ask you what gave you the idea, or how did you get the idea to begin the Appleseed program? How did it get started up?
Well, it got started up because I'm kind of a slow person mentally, and it took me about two or three decades of complaining about where this country was going, and most of those decades were spent as a gun owner. I mean, I lived through the Jimmy Carter years. The Reagan years were good, but they weren't perfect. I think there was some anti-gun legislation passed in the Reagan years. Then we had George Bush the first. And one of the first things he did when he got in office was sign that famous executive order forbidding the importation of what he defined as assault rifles.
Right.
Thereby moving rifles for the first time up to the center stage in the gun control battle. So at any rate, at some point, late in the Clinton years, early in the George Bush, 43 years. I guess I had the little light bulb goes that says, you know, you put in several decades now complaining and nothing's getting better. So, you know, maybe it's a good idea not to continue complaining, because it certainly seems to be a useless endeavor. And I don't know, for some reason, I've been active in teaching rifle marksmanship. I've been active in advocating that people learn to shoot their rifles. I had this quaint notion that if you belong to a fishing club, you should know how to fish. And if you belong to a gun club, you should know how to shoot. So, and at some point I began reading about April 1970-75, because I wanted to know what it was back then that made people do what they did. I wanted to try and understand that. And it seemed to me that if we could promote marksmanship and at the same time explain to people what being a rifleman is about, that is part of a tradition that started right with the beginning of this country. It's been linked with the destiny of this country ever since the beginning. We could explain to them about that. If we could train people to become riflemen, and it being understood that riflemen are far more than a person who's skilled with a rifle. There's an attitude, there's a set of values, of core values, that put you right in the tradition of the rifleman who fired the shot at Saratoga that knocked a British general down and resulted in our side winning that battle, which meant when the word got back to Europe that the British army had surrendered at Saratoga, the French were willing to enter into an alliance with us. As someone said, that was the hinge point of the American Revolution. It wasn't the victory of the American Revolution, but it was a turning point. But if we could get people thinking about that and being in that tradition, that the Nation of Riflemen idea is not really such a far out idea at all. So at any rate, sometime, I think it was April 2005, I wrote a little column for Shotgun News. I think that's when I first mentioned the Project Appleseed. And the notion was then, it was a little different than what it is now, and I'll explain the difference in a second. But the notion was, or the notion that I propounded in that column, was that everybody reading that column should learn to become a rifleman, should just go out on their own. And at the time, I had a guy that became a rifleman drafted. I had targets, and I was selling target sets that had the guide in it. And I said, take these target sets, go to your local range, follow the instructions in the guide until you become skilled with a rifle, until you can call yourself a rifleman. And we define that as making a certain score on the AQT, which measures shooting skill. And I said, once you do that, once you become part of that tradition, then it's incumbent on you to reach out to everyone you can reach out and grab them and bring them in. It was a basic do-it-yourself, bootstrap. If we want to turn the country around, let's everybody who reads this particular column in Shotgun News, let's go out and learn how to shoot, and then let's get our neighbors shooting. Let's get our coworkers shooting. Let's get our friends shooting. Let's get our relatives shooting. Let's take our family shooting. And in that way, we can spread this notion across the nation. Now, after about 3 or 4 months, I got to say, I didn't see a Nation of Riflemen rising out of the muck. So it seemed to me it would be good if we could sort of give it a little bit of a jump start. So we started, we said, let's take the tour on the road. In other words, let's go someplace in this country and invite people to, you know, a range, and we'll teach them to shoot. And the very first one was in Moreland, Wyoming in July of 2005. And we had people there from all over the West western half of the country. And, man, I'm telling you, some tough weather there. It was 105 degrees, 30-mile-an-hour wind blowing. It was like being in a blast furnace. And, you know, for a guy from the East Coast, it was kind of remarkable to stand there in all that heat and glare of the sun and all that hot air and look up, and you could see mountains in the horizon with snow on their caps, you know, on their peaks. It was really kind of remarkable. But at any rate, we tried out the concept in Worland, Wyoming, and we're kind of pleased with the result. We made some riflemen then, and we improved the skills of a lot of other people. And the next stop, we said, okay, let's go to Texas. We went to Mingus. I think that was in October of 2005. And let me think. I think we had about 60 people there. And we refined the program even more. We had about 3 ranges working at one time. And we had a long-range component that fired the Army qualification course at the full distance, 100 yards through 400 yards. And sharpened up by those 2 events, I made the announcement in Shotgun News that there was going to be a nationwide tour in 2006. Initially, we had 10 stops on the tour, and over the course of the year, it became obvious that if we were going to meet our goal of 1,000 apple seeders the first year, we were going to have to increase that number. It turned out we put on 18 that first year. And, of course, we went through all the problems you have of starting up a new program. Nobody had ever heard of Appleseed. Nobody knew who we were. And in the gun world, anybody who's got any energy or initiative, you always suspect, you know, their motives. Why are they doing this? You know, what's the real agenda? And all those kinds of questions. So
and
it was kind of an uphill
there.
Battle.
We still get those questions.
Yeah, well, we do, but not like we did. I mean,
right.
Look at our Appleseed schedule here in January, the very beginning of the year. I mean, in the beginning of 2006, I dare say we probably only had a half a dozen Appleseeds on the schedule. And here we start 2009, and we've already got over 150 shoots on the schedule. And I would expect that in the next 90 days we'll probably get we may get as many as another 100 on the schedule.
I think we'll have at least
the rest
100.
The rest of the year, we'll fill out the schedule until we hit the 300 level. But it's so much easier now because we have a reputation, we have a track record. You know, we put on over. Let me think. How many have we put on? We put on over 200 apple seeds. And with the 300 this year, we will be at the 500 apple seed level. And it's not been particularly easy because, as I remind people all the time in this program, not a single one of us has ever put together a nationwide program. And some of the problems can be daunting. There's so much you have to consider. There's so many details you have to get involved in. And sometimes the easiest part of this program is going out to an apple seed and doing the instructing.
Right, and I'll use that for a plug right now for volunteers, is that we need every kind of job description almost that you can think of that we're in need of. We don't need just instructors.
Let me interrupt you just for a second. It's true that we need it, but it's equally true that people listening to this program should want to do it. They should want to do it. This is a program that if any of us in this program have anything to say about it, it's going to continue until we achieve our mission. And our mission is to have enough people in this country awake, alert, aware of their tradition, aware of their heritage, to where we start electing some good people into hold political office.
Right.
So people in this country, I mean, I bet you people who are listening to this program right now are unhappy with the way this country is right now, unhappy with the way it's going, because it's bad enough to be where we are now, but today is better than tomorrow in this country. The direction of this country is downhill.
Right. And then a lot of people feel powerless to do anything about it, and they So they turn it off, or they start thinking that there's nothing they can do, and they begin to cede the power to the government, and they begin to accept defeat. And this program is exactly the exact opposite of that.
That's them. That's them. That's not the people who are listening to this program tonight.
Right.
The people who are listening to this program tonight are aware that there's a problem. And I presume they're listening to this program tonight because they're hoping to find, I hope they're hoping to find a solution. And let me tell you guys, Appleseed is the solution. I say that every day, that it doesn't matter what the problem is. Any problem you want to name, financial, whatever disaster that you think may lie in this country's future, it doesn't matter which one you name. I think I can honestly tell you that Appleseed is the solution. Like the founders, people in this program believe that an educated and alert American people cannot have liberty taken from them.
That's right. And what I was mentioning earlier is that that of the people listening, I wanted to let them know that that if they are wondering about if they can do something, we always need instructors because the program is growing so rapidly, and we always need instructors to help pass along the skills, the technique, and the story of April 19th, 1775. But if you don't feel comfortable doing that, I'm telling you, we need just as many people to work in admin, just as many people to help us write press releases, anything you can think of. Whatever your particular field of expertise is, we can use it, and we will welcome you with open arms at the Appleseed program.
Let's make it simple for anybody listening to this program tonight. Number one, get to an Appleseed. Find out what the heck this program is about. Don't listen to us. Come and see for yourself. Once you get to the Appleseed, if you like what you hear, then sign on to the program. We have a saying in this program, you can come to two apple seeds. And a lot of people do. But then we say, after your second apple seed, we expect you to get out of the deck chair and become part of the solution. In most cases, that means you're going to learn to become an instructor. And we will take anybody, any American, and we will turn him into a rifle marksmanship instructor. And we don't care how shy you are, how pathetic you are, how socially inept you are, none of that makes any difference.
Congratulations.
We will make a rifle marksmanship instructor out of you. A person who can stand up in front of his fellow Americans and convince them that they need to know how to shoot and that they need to know their heritage. If they want this country to change directions, then they have to do something.
Let me put the our number out again, if you'd like to call in. It's 347-308-8790. 347-308-8790. Feel free to call in, and we have time to just take a couple of callers before we move on to the next segment. So if you'd like to call in and make any comments or ask any questions of myself or Fred, please feel free to do so.
Do you want to mention the Wisconsin problem now?
I'm sorry?
I said, do you want to mention the Wisconsin problem now?
The Wisconsin problem? Go right ahead.
It might interest people to know that this program is growing so fast that we're starting to reach into some of the northern states. And some of the northern states, I'm particularly thinking about Wisconsin, because I've had an encounter recently with some apple cedars in Wisconsin. And the notion they were trying to put forth is that it gets cold in Wisconsin in the winter, and so from November until April or May, they more or less go inside the house and never come out again. And that's a notion that we need to disabuse people of, because if Appleseed's going to be a success, this program has to be a year-round program. So we're working now to encourage people in Wisconsin to think long and hard about having apple seeds in the winter. I believe it can be done. I believe the challenge of it is enough to make Americans want to do it. I guess you can say that's one thing that seems to have been bred out of us in the last generation or two, and that is that people don't seem to be as interested in challenges as maybe they once were. There's a lot of challenge in this program. There's a challenge to double every year, and there's also the challenge that if you're in Wisconsin in February, can you convince people to go out in sub-zero cold and learn how to shoot a rifle? I don't know whether they can or not, but to me it's a challenge. And I believe that Americans can rise to any challenge. So if there's anybody from Wisconsin listening tonight, let's go ahead and welcome those Minnesotans, because they're going to be coming down looking for a nice warm vacation in February. So if you can have an apple seed waiting there for them, they will certainly thank you for it.
Well, we have several locations that are not in Wisconsin yet, but several others around the nation where we've gotten locations for indoor ranges. And I think that one of the things about the Appleseed program, about Appleseed event, that I've always found just to be a great source of, it gives you a great source of information on your rifle system, on your rifle platform. If you want to find out what happens whenever you shoot your rifle, you shoot 500 rounds through it in rain and in blowing dust, and when you shoot it completely dirty, if you want to find out what happens with your rifle, you come to an Appleseed, and we will help you to find out. You'll find out how many rounds you can shoot through it before it gets too dirty, or which magazines work best in it, what kind of failures to feed or failures to eject you might experience when it gets full of dust, things like that. And I'm sure that,
certainly you'll be able to test your equipment in all weather conditions.
Right.
And I've been at Appleseeds where the heat will melt you before lunch, and I've been at other Appleseeds where you can see snow frozen in the magazine well.
All right. That's it. So it's always a good chance to find out what your rifle system is going to do, and you should be just as familiar with what it's going to do in cold weather as you are and what it's going to do in warm weather and rain, etc. Well, Fred, we want to thank you very much for calling in and giving us the history. There's a lot of people that wanted to find out about the history of the Appleseed program, how it started, and also about your thoughts on the on where the American Revolution sits today. Anything you'd like to leave the people with before you go?
I like to, wherever I can, reduce things to the simplest. And to me, it's a simple fact that all of us in this country now are living on the decks of a sinking ship. It may not sink in our lifetimes. It may be our kids that have to see the water go over the decks. But regardless, the ship is sinking. And if you don't get out of the deck chair and start bailing, then it seems to me you're saying something about yourself that you really don't want to say. I think that if people are truly Americans, have the American spirit, Americans don't sit on the deck of a sinking ship and do nothing. Americans get out of the deck chair and say, hey, the ship's sinking, let's bail. And right now, the only program I see that's doing that is Appleseed. So I would encourage everyone to get to an Appleseed. And when you come to an Appleseed, don't make the mistake of coming yourself to see, you know, what there is to see. Try and bring someone with you. You can bring your wife, because women shoot free. Certainly bring your kids, anyone, say, 8 or over. And, of course, kids up to the age of 20 shoot free. Or if you've got somebody in the military, somebody in the guard unit, bring him because he'll shoot free. But go down the list of your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers, your relatives, your family, anybody you know, and invite them to come to the Appleseed with you. For one thing, on that drive home, it sure will be nice to have somebody to talk over your experiences. And you will not regret bringing somebody with you.
That's
it's
right.
Even better if you can bring more than one person.
And bring a whole carload. They can reduce
bring
your
a carload,
gas.
That's right. Well, Michael, I appreciate this opportunity.
Hey, thank you very much.
Nice.
We appreciate you coming on the program, and we always love to get a chance to speak with you directly. And I'm glad, I'm sure that a lot of folks were appreciative of the fact that you came on so they could hear your version of how the program started also.
Thank you.
All right. We will be looking for you, I guess, on the forum, appleseedinfo.org. And then once you get there, you click up onto the links, and you can go to the forum, and then quick registration, and you're ready to go.
Man,
all right, thank you, sir.
While you're on the links, you can also click on the blog.
Oh, that's right.
The
don't forget about
the RWBA blog.
Appleseedinfo.org/blog. There's
yep.
a blog that accompanies the that accompanies the forum and the website.
Okay, Michael. I'll see
all
you
right.
on the Appleseed Trail, fella.
All right. Thank you, sir. Good
right,
night.
Good night. Bye.
All right. Well, that certainly gave a lot of the background information that we're looking for. And then questions I get about that quite often is how the program got started. You know, what was he thinking about when he got started? A lot of people have read Fred's column or at least seen it in Shotgun News for quite a while. I know myself I did. I listened or I read the Shotgun News from cover to cover minus Fred's column for about a year. And then finally one time I got stuck somewhere and I ended up reading the column because the previous times I may have read a couple of sentences out of it. And when I did, I just thought that this guy's crazy. I don't understand what he's talking about. He keeps yelling about the American Revolution and about patriots, and I don't have time for this. And it just it sounds far fetched. And now I think back on that, and I think I'm very ashamed because I think, what do you mean you didn't have time for the American Revolution or in time for patriots? That's if there's anything you should be making time for, that's it. Well, I finally read the column and I finally understood what he was talking about, how he's trying to re-educate America on the values of the founding fathers and on the importance of the date of April 19th, 1775, and not just that date, but of the whole 8 long years of the American Revolution and what it brought about, how it helped to define this country, and the ideas that came from that, that ended up becoming the documents that now define this country. Every time I read the Declaration of Independence or the American Constitution or the Bill of Rights, I'm always in awe of those men that wrote that. I try and imagine that if the weight of that had been on my shoulders now, would I be able to rise to the occasion and be able to sum up that brilliance that those men had? And right now, I just don't see it because Americans no longer think in that vein. They never they don't think in that patriotic, in that grand vein that those men lived in and that they thought in. So once I read the column and understood that, I knew that this was something that I had to do, something I had to get involved with, and I did. And, of course, just like a lot of people, once I started talking to people in the program, it was a while before I was actually able to go to an Appleseed event and meet some of the people face-to-face. And still in the back of my mind was the possibility that because this program seemed too good to be true, that it would be, that I would get to the event. And this was I drove from Texas here to Ramsey, North Carolina for a rifleman's boot camp for the 8-day event. And I was certainly afraid that when I got there, if I told my wife, she asked me when would I be back, and I said, well, I'll either be back in 14 days or I'll be back 2 days after I see the first swastika on somebody or the first time somebody gives me the straight arm salute. And, of course, nobody did. The program is that good. They are good people. They're the greatest people that you'll ever meet. I always tell people that when you come to an Appleseed event, you'll meet people who can be your new best friends for life. You can get rid of some of the old sorry friends that you've had that you still don't know why you kept them, possibly because you had no other choices. Well, we're here to offer you some more choices at an Appleseed event. You'll be able to meet people who think the same way that you do. Obviously not exactly the same, but they have the same passion, the same desire to safeguard their liberties and their freedom as you do. And together, we can all help figure this out. We can all help push this program forward, and in doing so, help safeguard the liberties of all Americans. All right, so you've decided that you're going to come to an Appleseed event. What do you need? Let's talk about that for a minute. The very basic things you'll need is a rifle, eye protection, ear protection, ammunition, and that would be the basic things that you would have to have. Everything else after that is going to be optional, of course. But you'll need a rifle, ammunition, for a Appleseed event, for the 2-day event, the weekend event. We'd like you to bring 500 rounds because we like to shoot quite a bit. So there's a good chance that we'll shoot up to 500 rounds. And then you'll need hearing protection and eye protection. Now, in addition to that, in most locations, you'll need usually something to lay on while you're shooting, because we do a great deal of work in the prone position. And you can go, you can rough it and just lay right down in the dirt if you'd like. But as I said before, we shoot through all weather. So if it's raining, you'll be laying in the mud. I've done that before. But we'd like you to bring a mat, something to lay on to keep you and your gear out of the dirt. And then you'll need a notebook to help write down any information that we give you, so you can take notes. You'll need something to eat and drink during the course of the day, appropriate clothing for whatever weather conditions that you'll be facing. And then sunblock, usually for your neck and ears. You'll be in the prone position, as I said, quite a bit, which exposes your neck to the sun. And even if it's winter, you can still get a good, decent burn on your neck. And I know a lot of people say, a lot of people feel like they work outside all day, or they feel that they're outdoor people and they won't be bothered by this. But I can tell you, when you go to an event, you'll see most of the instructors will have some form of sunblock on their necks and their ears and their noses and stuff like that. And the reason is because we thought the same thing until we got our nice little second-degree burn and had to go the next day with that second-degree burn too. So bring some type of sunblock. As I said, you'll also need food. You need some water to take with you down to the firing line so that you can keep yourself hydrated during the day. As far as food, it's better to bring something that you can snack on during the course of the day, something you can put in your pocket, peanuts, pretzels, different things like that, or sandwiches, pre-made sandwiches, rather than anything you need to cook, because you can better use that time on the line, either making sure that your gear is straight or listening to what we do here is we have the stories. We have the one of the strikes of the match during the lunchtime. So instead of trying to go buy something or cook something, your time is better spent just reaching in your pocket and pulling out a sandwich or something like that. We ask you to bring a notebook, too, so that you can keep notes on the instructions that we give out, the techniques, and also so that you can write down any adjustments made to your rifle. Once you get your rifle zeroed, you should be able to keep a notebook with all the notes on it, on any type of adjustments you make on it, just kind of a journal of the weather, the date, the location, when you were shooting, how much you shot, any adjustments you made to your rifle, et cetera, et cetera. As far as a rifle to bring, we like to suggest that you bring the a 22, that you bring a rimfire rifle, because a great deal of the instruction will occur at 25 yards, and that's because it gives us a chance to get very quick feedback. You can get straight down to the target line and back and diagnose your targets very quickly. And 25 and the 22 caliber rifles are just fine for the 25 meter instruction. Not only that, but because of a number of reasons, centerfire rifle ammunition has grown very expensive, and shooting 500 rounds of centerfire is going to cost a great deal. So that's money that could usually be better spent somewhere else. Now, you can bring both rifles. You can bring a 22 for the 25-meter, and then your centerfire rifle for the next day, for Sundays, because the way it runs is you'll come to an event, and all day Saturday we'll be working at the 25-meter line and teaching you the techniques and skill that we want you to learn at the Alpsy, the six steps of firing the shot, the natural point of aim, the inches, minutes, and clicks, and how it relates to your rifle, the different positions. We'll have standing, sitting, and prone positions. We'll be teaching all the steady hold factors for each of them, along with sling positions and sling techniques to use for your rifles. This is all done on the 25-meter line. Then on Sunday, we'll go back over that instruction, and then up to lunchtime. Then after lunchtime, we'll usually take a look and see how the people are doing, and those people that have managed to bring their groups down to, say, below 12 minutes, 10 to 12 minutes of arc, then those people will move over to the actual distance ranges where you'll fire the actual distance AQT, and you'll be firing from the 100, 200, 300, and 400-meter distances. You'll be firing just like you'll be firing the same AQT as you fire at the 25 meters, but you'll be firing at the actual distances. At the 25 meter, we have the targets, the 100, 200, 300, and 400 meter targets are scaled down so that when you're at the 25 meter line and you look down to the target line, you will see those targets and they will appear to you as they would at the actual distance. That means that when you look at the 100 meter target from the 25 meter line, it will appear to you to be the same size as it would if you're looking from the 100-meter line down to the actual size D target, Army D target, from 100 meters. And then you'll shoot, on the actual distance, you'll shoot the same thing. You'll shoot the standing at 100, sitting at 200, prone rapid fire at 300, and prone slow fire at 400. And an AQT, Army Qualification Test, takes 40 rounds to shoot through. And then, so you would need 40 rounds for the AQT, and then probably another 100 rounds or so to make sure that on Sunday morning that your rifle, your centerfire rifle, is sighted in. Excuse me, I still have after effects of a cold. So, as far as rifles, you can bring your 22 rifle, and you can fire through the whole event. and that will save you some money. And let me say, too, that a lot of people will question us shooting at 25 meters because they say they want the real distance. They want to be able to shoot real distance. And I'm here to tell you that if you shoot 4 minutes of angle at 25 meters, you will shoot 4 minutes of angle at 100 meters. You'll shoot 4 minutes of angle at 200, 4 minutes of angle at 300, and 4 minutes of angle at 400. So the same teaching skills, the same techniques apply to 25 meters. If you shoot 4 minutes of angle at 25 meters, then you will do it all the way out to 500 meters. So the teaching, the technique, and skill are the same. The only difference is that you will get actual data for your rifles at the known distance. And for those of you guys that think that shooting the AQT at 25 meters is kid stuff, let me tell you, the AQT at 25 meters is actually harder than the AQT on actual distance. So, all right, I'm going to take another caller here. Hello, you're on the air.
Scout Talon, how are you?
Good. How you doing, Talon?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Listen, wonderful list, and I really do appreciate you putting that out there. But there's one thing that I wanted to add, and that kind of ties into the last part of your conversation, where a lot of people will come, and or they've heard about the 25-meter challenge, and they kind of snub it. It's difficult, much more difficult than one would think, but perhaps the most important thing that you need to bring is a teachable attitude. And a bit of firsthand testimony, I was one of the people that had been shooting all of my life. And when I came to an Appleseed, I very quickly learned that I had 80% of it down, but it's the 20% that I didn't know that would just put it all together. And that 20% is it was gleaned by just simply listening. The instructors that we have, the people that take the time out of their lives, they know what they're doing. Now, you went over some credentials with Funfowler last show about just how difficult it is and how exacting a process it is to become an instructor. So when you show up to these Appleseeds, these people that are taking the time out to show you, whether they be the newest IIT or a master instructor, we are drilled with certain things, six steps and teaching processes that we just can't wait to show you. But you won't do well at all if you don't listen to the instructions. So everyone out there that's saying that they think they know how to shoot, that's wonderful. Come on out, just listen, and enjoy the program. We've talked about some serious stuff, but we've left out an important measure here. It's a lot of fun. I mean, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, definitely.
Get out there you start...
If it wasn't as much fun as it is, I wouldn't be doing it as much as I have been because it's a lot of work. But
it is a great challenge. That's true.
The gratification is just it's tremendous because it is fun. I tell you, I see the looks on the people's faces, and I think every time it actually surprises me because I think when these guys are shooting here, we had guys shooting at it was 105 degrees. The temperature with the heat index was up around 134. And there was women and kids, too. And I kept thinking, I'm going to wear these guys out. I'm going to wear them out. And here it was, still at 5 o'clock. I mean, they were baked. And they were all smiling. And that was just a true indication to me that they were loving it. Nobody was trying to get out of anything. Nobody was begging out. Now, we did have one guy that I made go and sit in the shade because he was about to stroke out.
Right.
But they were loving it. And as you said, the teachable attitude is one of the most important things you show up with. I don't care how good a shot you are. We have Marine Corps snipers. We have SWAT guys that come to the events. And the thing they all have in common is they all learn something.
Right.
They all learn something that they didn't know before because they listen with an open mind. Now, the folks that come and they say, listen, I've been doing it a certain way, so that's how I'm going to do it. And I would just say, that's fine. You know, you go ahead.
Yeah, we turn them loose, don't we? We just have at it.
Yeah, do what
you
want.
That's all you can do.
For me, it's always a question of those. Why did you pay, although it's a ridiculously small amount, why did you pay the $70 here to come to do what you want? You could have done that you know, at home. But if that's what they want to do, that's what they do, and they can leave without any progress. But everyone else, every single person I've ever seen that came to an Appleseed that had the attitude of, I want to learn something, they did. They did learn something, and they improved their marksmanship skills tremendously. And like you said, the instructors, I don't care if they if they're the first-time IITs. The
Which is an instructor in training for people who are listening that might not know what that means. That's an entry-level instructor.
Right, and, you know, we get a lot of a lot of times we'll hear people that are saying stuff about the program, like, well, these guys, they had guys that were just starting out, you know, that were teaching and stuff, and maybe they weren't that knowledgeable about it. Let me tell you, our starting guys, our instructors in training, are already at a level greater than 99.99% of any other firearm shooters in America. Because they already know the six steps of firing a shot. They know the NPOA. They know the steady hole factor, sling use. We don't just give a hat to somebody and say, go teach. We make sure that they know what they're talking about first. So anytime there's somebody on the line with a orange hat or red hat, you can depend on them to know what they're talking about.
Right, and you can depend on them to get down and engage. I mean, I've all the events that I've had the privilege to instruct at, all the people who showed up to volunteer their time as instructors, they got down and they were laying and prone next to the shooters. They really worked hard, and there's not a one instructor out there that doesn't want to make a difference immediately on the person or a set of persons that they're charges. They want to see improvements. They've got some pride in that line, and I'd also like to say that, and you can chime in here too. Kind of speaks to the line that you were talking about. I haven't seen that many people quit in an Appleseed. I've seen a few. The very first one I ever went to, I saw a few. But we just get I don't know if it's just it's the testament of the American spirit, but they're out there to learn, and they just don't quit. And sometimes they're in such a bubble, we have to slow them down as instructors because, like you said, you had one guy that would have went until he dropped. And that's part of the responsibility of being an instructor is watching your line and make sure nobody hurts themselves because once they get wound up, man, they go. They have such a good time, and they're so focused on what they're doing, they go. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, we have the kids. Then that always surprised me too, because you know, a lot of times the kids don't have their attention spans, you know, are a lot different than adults, and we'll get the kids that come, and I keep thinking, any second now, this kid's gonna burn out because
right.
He's been at it for 5 hours solid. He's been at it, and any second now, he's gonna burn out. At the Appleseed this last weekend, we had I'm trying to think of how old he was. I think he was either 7 or 8, and he stayed at it. I mean, he did not give up. Not on Saturday, he was there till the very end. Not on Sunday, he was there till well, on Sunday he left early with his grandpa, and he didn't want to. I mean,
right.
it started to be kind of a not a great scene because I think he actually wanted to start crying. But I went over and told him, I said, hey, listen, I said, you're welcome back anytime. You can come back anytime. You go home with your grandpa right now, and I'm going to write a note to your parents telling them to bring you to the next Appleseed, and that straightened him right up. But he was with us the whole time. He was enjoying himself, and I see that every time at every event from the kids. And it always amazes me because the program works.
Yeah, that it does. All right, well, that's all I had. If you've got another call waiting, I'll let somebody else get on here. So.
All right,
well, we'll talk to you.
Speaking with you. Oh, listen, I'm going to tell everybody, too, that not only is Talon an Appleseed instructor and a very good one, he's also the producer for the show here now. And one of the reasons that it seems to be going probably a little bit smoother than it has in the past, because we actually have somebody who's taking that job over, and I want to thank you very much.
Oh, it's my pleasure. One thing Fred said is it's not a single one of us has put together a nationwide program. Well, that's true with me and radio producing, and I just saw something, an opportunity to help out, and I'm glad to do it. And again, this might sound campy, but it's really from the heart, and all of the people that are with the program will mean it. If we can help out, if we can help get involved and put a shoulder to the wheel, no matter how, that's why we're all doing this. So,
well, it
again,
doesn't sound campy to me because I'm used to hearing that now. And you know what? And I'm telling you that people have gotten this notion in their head that it's wrong. It's wrong to feel passionate about your country, about helping your country. And that's from the talking heads. And let me tell you that regardless of what you hear from any group of people or any talking heads in the media, anything like that, there is nothing wrong with being passionate about wanting to help your country. There's nothing wrong with having a code to live by in your life. That's what we at the Alphacy Program do. We have a code that we live by here in the program. And there is nothing at all wrong with that.
Not at all. All right, Scout, good night. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye. All right, that was Talon. He, as I said, he helped to produce the show. He's gone through a lot of trouble for it. That's why it does seem like it's going smoother. And we're still working on a lot of things that we still are trying to work out. You know, anytime you start some new endeavor, there's always lots of different things you've got to figure out what to do, how to get the music right, or how to break the show up into segments so that it seems like you know what you're talking about and that you're not just babbling in a circular fashion about things. So we're trying to keep from doing that. I've got another caller now on the line. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
Michael, how you doing?
Good. How you doing? Who's this?
This is Ed from New York.
Ed, how are you, sir?
Good, good. Hey, I wanted to call in and try to maybe stress the fact that the average, everyday American can do something. You don't have to be a superhero like yourself or Fred or anything like that. You can be the average, everyday person. You don't have to be a rifle marksman right off the bat. You know, a year ago to date, I didn't even own a rifle. I'd shot one a couple times here and there, but didn't own one, didn't really care about what was going on. As long as everything was still around long enough for me to enjoy it, not
right.
Worrying about the future.
About your posterity. Let me ask you about this then. Because I'm always interested in hearing the story of how someone heard about the program and what caused them to actually do something about it. Because there's always some story involved in a person in why a person decided to flip the switch on and decided to do something about the country. As you said, you had no real motivation to do anything. You just said, well, I'm do what I'm doing right now, and then someday somebody will take care of whatever mess there is. But
right,
then that changed. And what changed it for you?
You know, I've thought about that many times. I don't actually know. I was, you know, I don't have any kids, and I don't have any thing to leave anything to. And there's, you know, I'd followed the politics in a little bit and watched how things was happening, and somehow I got clued into a certain political candidacy, and I followed that and was kind of involved in that. And then when I saw that not really panning out, I said, well, what, you know, I liked the direction that was going. What can I do to keep us going in that direction? And somehow I, through that, I stumbled across Appleseed. And, you know, it took me maybe, to be honest, 10 minutes of looking at that forum and said, you know what, these guys are doing what needs to be done, and I want to do something too, and I want to help out. And if I got to go get a rifle and learn how to shoot it, that's what I'll do, and that's what I did.
That is what you did, because you took off like a rocket.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, I went to probably four Appleseeds, four or five, before I actually shot a Rifleman score, and that was I struggled with it a little bit because, you know,
you said you didn't
not
have
really
any history of rifle marksmanship, right?
What's that?
You said you didn't have a history of shooting.
Oh, no. I mean, maybe from a year ago, I didn't own a rifle at all, and the last time I shot one before that was probably 10, 15, 20 years, and it was, you know, spraying lead into a, you know, into a hillside, and that was about it. So, I mean, you know, and, you know, that's what I said. What I'm saying is that if, you know, this medium of rifle marksmanship is the, you know, getting to the end goal of getting people aware of what's going on and what their responsibility is and what they should be doing. You know, it's not, I'm not in it just for the marksmanship. I'm in it for the education part, the history. And you don't have to be a superhero to do it.
Oh, no. No, and none of us are.
No.
And the program, as much as we are about rifle marksmanship, as much as we do stress that and teach that, the OPC program isn't about rifle marksmanship. It's about waking up and becoming a stronger person, a more involved person in your life. So rifle marksmanship is just a small part of it. It's actually the bait that we use to draw people in, because it just so happens that the people who will who are willing to come to an event, who are willing to learn to shoot, are also the people that are willing to do more in their lives, and who are also willing to become involved in safeguarding the liberties that the Founding Fathers left for us. And
right.
And somebody like you actually proves that. Now, I met you in Troop in New York at the shoot there, and I really enjoyed that, and you were doing a great job there, even before you became instructor, because you had already volunteered to be the state coordinator.
Well, yeah, I don't know that I quite volunteered for that, but yes, I
We have a habit of volunteering people.
And, yeah.
I believe that you're one of the guys that came into our sites, and we said, okay, yeah, you'll make a good state coordinator, so congratulations.
Well, thanks.
So we just kind of drafted Ed into the program, but he was a willing draftee, and he jumped right into it, and he's been working really hard and doing a great job up in New York and Pennsylvania.
Yeah, well, I heard my friend Mooney from Pennsylvania call in last week, and he touted up Pennsylvania pretty good, which is what his new task is. So I figured I'd throw New York in there. And one of the other things about what you guys were talking about, the people that you end up meeting and knowing, and a lot of people like yourself that I've met and know, I feel confident that you'd be there if I needed you in a certain situation, and I'd be there for you. And I see Brett there from Texas, which I've never met personally. I see him listening. I see what looks like Carla from Ohio. I mean, you end up meeting all these people, and it's a whole new family kind of thing.
It is a family, and like you said, probably in a lot of cases, a lot stronger than your biological family. I mean, because we are all passionate, like-minded individuals. We are individuals. Let me bring up to you right now one of the things that is occasionally thrown at us is that we're all cult members, and I'm telling you that's one of the things that I try to let any of the criticisms of the program that aren't valid roll off my back.
Right.
But whenever people start calling us cult members, that really causes me to boil sometimes, because I don't understand how you can believe that a group of people who are banding together in order to safeguard the liberties of all the people in the country, how it is that we're now cult members because we believe passionately in something. That would In essence, I would be saying the same thing that the men and women on April 19, 1775 were all cult members because they had all thought the same way. They had all thought to defend their liberties and safeguard their country. So they were all in a cult. Just because we have a that we're passionate about the program doesn't mean that we're in any type of a cult. We're passionate about it because it seems to be working. And I'm telling you, if you don't think that there's a problem with the country right now, either you have your head in the sand, or you're just in complete denial. Because there are some terrible problems with the country right now. If we're the USS Titanic, our hull is holed. There's water rushing in. There's a lot of problems, and they need to be fixed.
Yeah.
And that is the purpose of our program. We're not addressing specific problems right now. What we're doing is we're building a machine that's big enough eventually to wake up everyone and make sure everyone understands that there is a problem and that they can't the problem isn't going to fix itself, and that they can't avoid the problem by switching to a 30-minute comedy that will have itself all worked out in 30 minutes and they can go to bed. There are some legitimate huge concerns in the country right now, and they have to be addressed. And while our program doesn't address any of the specific individual problems, it was never designed to. It's designed to get people to wake up and understand that they are the solutions.
If people just look around and see what's happening, they'll make the right decision. If they get a clear vision of what's happening and what has happened before and how it was corrected, they'll see what the right direction is. You don't have to point people in any particular direction, and we don't. It falls into place if you just look at what's going on. You know,
right.
It'll fall into place.
Right, and we're a rifle marksmanship and safety organization. But that's never been all that we are, and we're not the be all end all of rifle programs. We're just a beginning, and whether you're a beginner, whatever level you're at, you can still learn from the program. And whether you're a beginner or at some other level, you can still contribute to the program.
Right. Yeah. There's a guy out in Western New York. David, new to the forum, new to the program. He's done more in the last month than some people who've been in the program for over a year have done, as far as promoting and working to get shoots and promote Appleseed. And he's doing it on a shoestring budget, and he's making a difference. We got a potential shoot lined up because of his efforts in Western New York, where we have not been before. The three shoots in New York, New Brennan, Troop, and Van Etten are all right down the center of New York. We've never been west of that, to my knowledge, anyhow. And, he's got a shoot where it's almost a guarantee. And through his efforts in a very short amount of time, we're going to be there. We got Mooney in Pennsylvania, who stepped up to try to help out. Pennsylvania wants to be the state coordinator. He probably already is. He was temporary or interim or whatever they want to call it. He's done more for PA than I myself have done in the last year, just because, of trying to do, regular job during the day and all that. But, he's taken over down there, and you don't have to be a superhero. You just got to do something.
Right. And we appreciate all that you've done, Ed. And thank you so much for calling in.
Okay.
We've got another caller on right now. Thanks, Ed, and keep doing what you're doing.
We'll talk to you later, Mike. Thanks.
All right. All right, we've got another caller right now. Who's this? You're on
is
the air.
Is it me?
I don't know. Is it you?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Who is this?
This is My name's Primo. I'm with the, I do have the site Red State Town Hall. And anyway, I stopped by earlier and caught some of your program. I had to do some other things and just came back. I was going to try to finish up and listen to it and try to download it. I'm glad I stumbled across you guys. I really like what you're doing and so forth. And one comment about the last caller, he was talking about how some people look at the organization as, some kind of cult or, all that sort of thing. And all that boils down to is simply because there's firearms involved. That immediately with a lot of people, because of the way the media has treated anyone that has that owns more than one gun as a nut, So you, because, I've seen things where a guy's arrested for whatever violation, and then they'll mention that he had two handguns and two hunting rifles and 500 rounds of ammunition, and they make it sound like he had an arsenal,
right.
Which is nuts, of course. Anybody who owns more than a few firearms is going to have several hundred, if not thousands, of rounds of ammunition because you buy it in bulk to save money. So
what a lot of people think is about the program, people who have heard about it, and I'll be honest, we have some people that that were with the program. They didn't work out so good because they wanted to go some other different place than where the program was going. And those people have it in their mind that Fred is the cult leader and that we all do what he says no matter what it is. And nothing could be
right.
Further from the truth because I'm on the steering committee with Fred and there is no centralized command where we send out subliminal messages or anything. All the programs are pretty much self-sufficient, which is the whole design of Appleseed program, is that it's supposed to be designed so that it is locally controlled by the states, and that's the way it works. Where are you at now? Where are you from?
I'm in actually southeast Tennessee, a little town called Cleveland, just above Chattanooga.
All right.
I'm real close to the Georgia border.
Have you been to an Appleseed?
No, I haven't. Actually, I saw an ad probably several years ago in probably something like Shotgun News or something. I think Fred had some ads in magazines like that. And I never really did any more about it. And then I happened to just stumble across you. Like I say, I have a show on Blog Talk, too. And I happened to stumble across your show, and then it started ringing the bell. I go, I've heard of this before, And so I've got you set as my favorites, and I'm going to download this full episode when I... later on tonight, and actually, we're going to, on our show on the 31st, we're going to have a show about the Second Amendment, about Obama's plans for that. I don't know if you've heard about the stuff where he's working with this Rebecca Peters, that was the girl that went, did the whole deal in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
She was behind all that, and she was backed by George Soros. She's been involved in several organizations that Soros backs, so that's where the connection is there. And
well, if you'll listen to the program, you'll see that at the Appleseed program, we feel that that we need people working on paying attention to what the government's doing. But the Appleseed program is designed to wake up as many people as possible, as fast as possible. So we try not to focus on any specific icebergs, but I will tell people to give your show a listen. And if you, after you listen to the show, if you'll log on to appleseedinfo.org.
I already found the website and marked it in my bookmarks, and I'm going to go back later and read over the whole thing. So.
Okay, because we can use every person we can giving us a hand, putting another shoulder to the wheel, and pushing it along.
Right. Well, one other thing, too. I'm actually a founding member of a online gun forum called the Gun Collectors Forum.
Mm-hmm.
It's guncollectorsforum.com, and you got, I don't ever remember anybody posting anything about you on our forum. So I'm going to make maybe a brief mention about it, but it might be worth something to you guys to I don't know if you have somebody who does that sort of thing, who maybe just frequents gun forums and tries to stir up a little interest. That's a natural tie-in for you guys. I mean, all of us are gun collectors, and the vast majority is, you know, with World War II stuff, World War I stuff. But I mean, and we actually hold informal shoots ourselves a lot. Just a group of us will get together, you know, at a range nearby, and do that sort of thing in our various areas. But
we'll get them all together and bring them to an apple seed.
Forum, you know, of course, because of the internet, we've literally got guys that visit our forum from all over the country. I mean, Alaska, the West Coast, East Coast, Middle America.
We have shoots all over the country.
Yeah, there's a group of us that get together just over the line in Georgia, that's mostly Tennessee and Georgia boys, and we usually get, you know, 15, 20 guys together when we have it. We do it about 2, 3, 4 times a year. Just depends on how busy everybody is. It's kind of tough to get everybody together, but with everybody's different work schedules and so forth. But
all right. Well, thank you for listening, and thanks for calling in.
Well, appreciate it, and thank you for your efforts, and I'll try to check in a little more often, and I'm definitely going to download this episode and listen to the whole thing when I get some time later this week.
All right.
Appreciate
it. Thank you very much, sir. All right. Well, that's another example of how folks in the shooting culture are. There's hundreds and even thousands of organizations that are all working loosely toward what they think is the same goal. And if there was some way we could harness all of the shooting organizations and all of the folks involved in this, it would certainly be a lot stronger coalition. And I don't understand at times, I'm not talking about this specific caller, but I don't understand at times how so many of the shooting organizations and groups are so suspicious of each other, and why it is that we sometimes have trouble getting ranges for shoots for the program, because they think that we have some hidden agenda, or that we're trying to steal members, or that it's some type of a cash cow and they're not going to let the program into a range or something unless they get a big drink of water at the cash trough. But that's not the case. We're actually working to, we're going to provide in the very near future a huge tsunami of new shooters that are going to come washing on to the program, into the shooting disciplines, because of the APSE program. It never fails that when somebody comes to an event, that at the end of the event, they're charged up and they're ready to go in some direction. And the best direction is Appleseed. But they're always wanting to know, what's next? What can I do now? What can I do next? And the answer is going to be become an Appleseed instructor and help wake up your friends, your relatives, the guy who delivers the paper, every single person that you know, and get them involved in the program. Well, we wanted to discuss one of the rifle systems that we use at Appleseed, or one that's become very, very popular, and we call this the Liberty Training Rifle, the LTR. And right now, the Liberty Training Rifle, or the Appleseed program, is the Ruger 10/22. And one of the reasons that it is because it's very easily, it's an inexpensive, accurate, out-of-the-box accurate rifle that you can use that is magazine-fed, and it's also easily adaptable. As far as adding things on, you can get a sight kit to put on from Tech Sights that will let you adjust. That will have the basically the same look and adjustable as the 30 caliber battle rifles from Tech Sights. And it has a it's a magazine-fed semi-automatic rifle, and you can bring anything you want to shoot at an Appleseed event, and we will teach you on whatever you bring. But there are going to be different rifles that are going to make it easier for you, and one of those is the Ruger 10/22. One of the reasons that we push the 22 rifles, like the Liberty Training Rifle in 22 caliber and the semi-automatic magazine fed, is because it, that more closely follows the shooting program and the instruction that that you will get at an Appleseed event. You can bring a lever action or a bolt action rifle or a tube fed rifle, any of these, but and you will still be able to learn the techniques. It's just going to slow you down, because a lot of the training that we're asking you to do is be able to build a steady position and fire a shot consistently. And that's much easier to do with a semi-automatic rifle with a that's magazine-fed, because you're able to load quickly during the course of fire that that the program is built around, and you're able to fire in the semi-automatic mode without breaking your position every time to work the bolt or work the lever. And once you have mastered the skills and the techniques, then that's not that much of a problem. I have a bolt-action rifle that I can shoot. It's actually tube-fed, too, and I've managed to be able to shoot through an AQT with it without any problems now. But that would certainly be that would certainly hamper the technique that you would need. whenever you come to an Appleseed event, we're training you. I say training. We're not training you anything. We're teaching you. We're giving you instruction in rifles marksmanship, and the course is designed around iron sights. Now, we would like you to learn to use your iron sights on each of your rifles. If you don't, if you have a scope, then that's fine too, though. I mean, any rifle you bring to an Appleseed, we're going to teach you how to use it. One of the other things that that people ask. Let me see here. Where one of the other people that people ask is about scopes and about if it's okay to use scopes here at the Appleseed program, and that's it's certainly not a problem. A lot of people's eyes are not what they once were, and a lot of their rifles are already scoped. So if you have a scoped rifle, feel free to bring it. I see we're running up to the end of the time here. Okay, let me hit you again with the upcoming events. We have the Boulder City, Nevada, January 17th and 18th. Peru, California, January 17th and 18th. El Paso, Texas, January 17th and 18th. Sacramento, California, January 17th and 18th also. If you have a chance, get to one of these. We have the Rifleman's Boot Camp coming up here in Davila, Texas. It will be in February. It's the 22nd to the 1st. And if you want to get fast-tracked to become an instructor, that's what you need to do. Come to a Rifleman's Boot Camp. It is 8 days of rifle marksmanship, and not just that. It's 8 days of being with a group of other men and women that believe just like you do, and it will help you get on the fast track to becoming an instructor. I'd like to thank everyone that called in tonight. I'd like to thank Fred for calling in, giving us the history of the APC program and his ideas about the American Revolution. Thank Talon for coming in. Once again, thank Talon for all the work that he's been doing. He's doing a great deal of work on producing the program. He's helping us. We're working on getting more music program and getting that all worked out. Thanks again, and we will see you this next Tuesday. And until then, appleseedinfo.org, appleseedinfo.org/blog. Thanks, everyone, and we will see you again next Tuesday. Thank you.